ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Thank you, Jesus. Our dear Father, we thank you for your great plan of redemption. We thank you for the privilege of being called your children. We don't take it for granted. We thank you because we are in your family. We thank you for the gift of the mighty Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you because we are not alone in this world. We are born of you. Lord, we thank you for revelation knowledge today. As we've come to learn of you, let insight come in the name of Jesus. Thank you for answered questions. Thank you for solutions. Thank you because the entrance of your word bringeth light and giveth understanding to the simple. We receive light. We receive encouragement. We receive grace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Ayo just said something a while ago. He said crime is on the increase. And it's true. Crime is on the increase. And crime didn't just become on the increase just like that. Some things have happened in the recent past to make crime be on the increase. If you take your eyes off the word of God for a moment, your heart will almost fail you for fear. Because so many things have gone on. I was talking with somebody recently. I said, you see this coronavirus, I'm tired of it. I want to live my life. I'm tired of it. We had not finished dealing with it. We were told of increases in certain commodities in the country. Speaking about the increase in electricity tariff. I've been in your house, you used to leave lights on everywhere. Nowadays, when I come out and the light is on, I'll be telling my children, the light is on. Put off the light, put off the light. Because you are calculating the cost that you are paying. We hadn't finished dealing with that. We were told our fuel had increased. Before I came from Abuja, there were so many queues, and I was wondering, why are people queuing? They said, oh, fare was going to, I don't know if it has increased or it's going to increase. And out of fear, people had started queuing to buy. And I was like, but after this one finishes, they will still buy. So why are they suffering themselves to queue? Why am I telling us all of this? There's so much going on. A lot is going on. If you go on social media, if the stories I read on social media that start with, please hide my identity, is there anything to go by? People are going through stuff. A lot is going on. People's mental health are challenged. Their emotional health are challenged. Their very livelihoods are challenged. And we live in the same world with them. We live in the same world with them. So if care is not taken, we are almost getting into the same panic mode. But this phrase, I'm a child of God, it makes the greatest difference. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. We cannot afford to get into the same panic mode because we know who our Father is. Praise God. Can we open to Matthew 6 from 25 to 34? That will be our anchor scripture tonight, today. Okay, please let's read King James. Somebody said to me once that King James is for old people like you. New King James is for teenagers and young people. So we are old people. We want King James. Thank you very much. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thoughts can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thoughts for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Praise God. In this passage, Jesus is actually preaching to the Jews. He was talking to the Jews in this passage, and he was attempting to express, to show them the true picture of our Heavenly Father. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the express image of the Father. He's the exact representation of the Father. So in this passage, Jesus was attempting to reveal the Father to the Jews. You know, Jesus came to reveal the Father heart of God to the world. But the Jews that he was talking to at this moment, they couldn't receive this information. They couldn't see God as someone who was concerned about their clothing, who was concerned about their feeding, who was concerned about everything that concerned them. They couldn't understand this type of God. They couldn't grasp these concepts of this God who cared so much that even the lilies were under his care. Even the birds of the air were under his care. They couldn't grasp these concepts. Why? Because up until now, when Jesus came on the scene, all the Jews had ever known was a God of justice. They knew God not as Father, but they knew him as Jehovah, Elohim. They knew him as the God who demanded justice. You knock out my tooth, I knock out your tooth. You pluck out my eye, I pluck out your eye. You know, when we were small, we used to say, do me, I do you. God, no go verse. But you know, some people still behave like that. Some believers still believe in, do me, I do you. That is why I was talking to a sister once, and I said, why are you cursing people? Why do you want people to die? She said, sister, kill them before they kill you. So that is still the same concept of, do me, I do you. God, no go verse. Praise God. So these Jews couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. They saw him as harsh, always waiting to beat them over the head with a stick and send them to hell. Unfortunately, some believers still see God in that light. They still see God as someone who is sitting up in heaven waiting to send them to hell for the slightest mistake. You know, some believers, they can't even shake their body. They cannot live. They are so conscious of the fact that, please, oh, I don't know the one that I will do, and I will not make heaven. Because they think God is so impossible to please. That God is someone who is so harsh and far removed from them. They are always in trepidation about God. Some people even think that God punishes them with sickness, and that God punishes them with poverty. Somebody said to me, a pastor said to me, Sister Uche, please, why is it that people that serve God used to suffer? I said, I thought he said, I didn't ask the sons of Jacob to seek me in vain. I thought the Bible said that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Where then did you find that people who serve God always suffer? Look through the history of the people that served God. Look through your ancestors, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, they were wealthy. They lived prosperous lives. They did not suffer. That belief is a wrong mindset. That people who serve God suffer is a wrong mindset. So people think that God is always on their case, punishing them. You hear people say such things like, so I became sick, you know, because God wanted me in the hospital so that he could get me to preach to people in the hospital. Look, God has 1,001 ways to reach the people in the hospital. You don't have to be sick to reach people in the hospital. Praise God. And then they come giving you the example of Joseph. That see how Joseph suffered. His brothers sold him into slavery. Do you know that God has 1,001 ways he could have sent Joseph to Egypt? He didn't have to go by his brothers selling him into slavery. That wasn't God's best. But God is a God that can take advantage of whatever you are going through. So he took advantage of what his brothers did and brought good out of it. Praise God. They say God is the God of second chances. I beg to disagree. God is the God of as many chances as you need. Until you make it, God never gives up on you. Except to give up on God, he cannot turn his back on you. So God is not the God who punishes people with sickness or diseases or poverty. So the Jews saw this God as harsh and a God of justice because they grew up under the harsh atmosphere of the law. The old covenant was a covenant of sin and death. They didn't have a relationship with God. The priests were their go-between. They couldn't relate to God directly. You know, God has always been a gracious God. Some people think that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. That in the Old Testament, God was a wicked God. And in the New Testament, he now became kind. No, he has always been the same God. He never changes. He has always been love personified. He has always been a good God. In his graciousness, after Adam sinned and committed high treason, he instituted the law and the Levitical priesthood so that he could continue to relate with man and bless them. That wasn't his best. His best was our sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. But until Jesus came on the scene, he wanted a way to continue to relate with them. So he instituted the Levitical priesthood. What used to happen is that every year, the high priest, they would take two ghosts. And one of the ghosts, the goats, they would confess the sins of the people over the head of the goats, send it into the wilderness so that judgment could fall on it instead of the people. And then the other goat to be sacrificed. In this way, the sins of the people were atoned for, covered for a period. But we are better off. Our sins were never atoned for. Our sins were remitted. No, praise God. No matter how much you dig for our sins, you cannot find them. They have been wiped off, remitted as if they never existed. So they covered the sins of the people for a season, and then God could bless them the best that he could. God required every man 20 years and above to present themselves to Jerusalem at least once a year. You know, even then, they never entered the Holy of Holies. God's presence was shut up in the Holy of Holies. Only the high priests could enter, and with great precautions. If he did not enter well, he fell instantly dead. And they would have to drag his body out, meaning the sacrifice for that year was not accepted. So this was how the Jews related to God. This was the God they knew. You can't blame them too much for not understanding what Jesus meant in this passage of scripture we just read. Unfortunately, a lot of believers are still seeing God in that light. They're still seeing God as a harsh God that cannot be pleased. They're still attempting to please God. When I was growing up, I was told that God had a basket. And in this basket, every good you did was placed in the basket. And they kept placing. But the moment you did one bad thing, they will turn the whole basket upside down. So the basket could never get full. You could never please God. That is how some people see God today. They see God as a God that you cannot please. That's why they strive so hard to please God. They strive so hard to please this God so that he can bless them. They get into 90 days fast, 100 days fast, 40 days fast, just so that God can bless them. But you see, God is pleased with you already. God is not angry with you. God has accepted you already. He's not angry with you. He's already pleased. Now, the believers believe that you cannot please this God. So you see them striving in with everything they have. You see them striving. You hear believers saying that, I cannot do this, or I'm doing this, so that I will make heaven. Let me tell you, you cannot. Are you Nigerians? You are Nigerians. What can you do to become a Nigerian? You are already a Nigerian. You are already a citizen of heaven. You don't need to struggle to become a citizen of heaven anymore. The Bible tells us that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You operate from heaven. So you don't need to try to please God so that you become a citizen of heaven. God is already pleased. Praise God. You know what happened? Somebody told me, people, believers who see God in this light, right? They see God as a God that you must do your very best to please. They are so much interested in service. They have forgotten that God is more about relationship than he is about service. Yes, God wants your service, but before your service, he wants your relationship. I heard a story from a pastor, a preacher. She said there was this woman who was looking for the fruit of the womb. And so she was a chorister, right? She used to sing in the choir. So one of these days, the angel that used to give babies, I'm telling you a story. The angel that used to give babies brought the baby to church. But the woman had become discouraged, so she was not in church that day. And so the angel took the baby back. Moral of the story, serve God so that God can bless you. Look, if it's about service, before your father can bless you, I have a question for you. How many churches will you clean before you end salvation? How much service will you put in before you get healing? How much service will you put in for protection? How much service will you put in for provision? I am not against service. By all means, serve. You know why we serve? Blessed people serve. We are blessed to serve. We do not serve to be blessed. That's why we serve. It is blessed people that serve from a place of blessing. By all means, serve. Why do we serve? It is our father's business. If I don't go about my father's business, who will? Who will? My children don't wake up in the morning and you see them washing car, sweeping, and say, what are you doing? Say, so that you give me food. No, because they belong to that house. They take part in the chores of the house. They do not take part in the chores of the house so that we give them food. It is my responsibility as a mother to give them food. I'm here to give you another picture of this God. I'm here to present to you the true picture of this God. It is his responsibility to give you food. You don't serve for food. He gives you food. You serve out of a place of appreciation. Praise God. So here we have Jesus in this passage of scripture that we have read, telling them about this God, and they couldn't understand this God. We say we don't blame the Jews because they grew up under the harsh atmosphere of the law. But what of believers? Some believers who still have that impression that God is so far that you cannot relate to him, that God needs to be appeased and needs to be pleased. You know, some people treat God as if God is a contrary God who cannot quite make up his mind what he wants. Somebody said, I went for a waykeeping, and somebody said that you know that you can have 20 naira, 500 and 1,000, and it's your right to decide which one to spend at any point. That the same way, it is God's right to decide who to call home. He can call a baby, he can call an adult. And I said, why should I serve the God who will watch a woman go through 9 months of carrying a child, go through childbirth, and say, you know what, I just want to take the baby home. Why should I serve such a God? God is not arbitrary. God does not wake up and he says, you know what, I want to kill your children. He's not in the business of killing children. Praise God. So I'm here today to present another picture of this God to you. A Father God who loves you so much. A Father God who is consumed with thoughts of you. A God whose greatest attribute is love. A God who is love personified. Let's read our text again. Matthew 6 again. I want us to look at some particular verses. Verse 26 and verse 32. Can we put it up again? But just before we read that, did you notice that he said, take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. How do you take a thought? By your words. Until you actually begin to speak out, you haven't taken the thoughts. Thoughts may come into your mind. Thoughts may persist in your mind, but thoughts unspoken die unborn. If you don't speak it out, you haven't taken that thought. He said, take no thought, saying, hey, now, wow, $500. Hi, how will somebody survive in this Nigeria? Eh? I don't even know what this Buhari is doing. Look at now, they have increased tariffs. They have increased electricity. Ah, house rent safe in this Lagos. I don't even know. Eh? What will somebody do? Do not join them. Do not take such a thought by saying, why? You have a heavenly father. You are a child of God. Your heavenly father is responsible for you. The Nigerian economy is not responsible for you. Your father, who is in heaven, is responsible for your well-being. So let's look at verse 26 and 32 again. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly father. He says your heavenly father. He didn't say your God. He says your heavenly father. He didn't say Elohim. He didn't say Jehovah. He says your heavenly father. Let's look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Here again, we see Jesus emphasizing your heavenly father. He could have said your God. He could have said the creator of heaven and earth, but he said your heavenly father. Let me tell you, God is your own father. God is your own daddy. I say he's my personal father. I don't know about you. My own personal father, my daddy. He's my daddy. You know, God is not everybody's father. There's this belief, they talk about the universal brotherhood of man, the universal fatherhood of God. That's a lie. Jesus talked about a particular group of people whose father is the devil. I didn't say so. It was Jesus who said so. He said they are of the devil, their father. John 8:44. Right? So some people, you are either, in this world, there are no two ways about it. You are either born of God or you are born of the devil. You are either born of God or you are born of the devil. So we have some people who are born of the devil. God is not everybody's father. But you know what? You are privileged. God is your own personal father. You are born of God. You are a child of God. God is your father. Let this thought settle in your hearts. Let this thought. You know, we sing, oh, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. If you really believe that you are a child of God, your walk will change. Your swag will increase. A child of God. A child of God? Do you know who a child of God is? You are a child of God. How do you carry yourself? Timid. You don't carry yourself timidly as a child of God. You belong to the highest. You are the child of the Most High. If you really let this thought settle in your heart, you cannot go to bed fretting and wondering, how will I survive tomorrow? How will I survive tomorrow? I am born of God. I have a father. It is his business how we survive tomorrow. Do you think that your children stay awake at night wondering how you will pay their school fees? Do you think that your children stay awake at night wondering whether there will be indomie for them to eat the next day? Well, then all they know is that they wake up in the morning, they dress up, they wear their school uniform, they say, Daddy, I'm going to school. It's your responsibility to know whether you pay the school fees or not. It's your responsibility to know whether you will provide the food or not. They don't go asking you how much your salary is. They just come and make their demands. Regardless of how much your salary is, they just come and say, Daddy, buy an airplane for me. And you too, if you had the money, you would buy the airplane. You know why you are not buying the aeroplane? You are limited in your finances. But you know your own heavenly father, he's not limited in his finances. So let this thought settle in our hearts. God is a father. He's a kind, loving father who loves his children. He's interested in everything that concerns you. Not just that he loves us collectively as a church, he loves us individually. He knows all your challenges. He knows all your concerns. And he's saying, you know what? Go to sleep and allow me to handle them. He wants to bear your burdens. He wants to handle your challenges. What a comforting thought. To know that you have a father that is saying, go to sleep. Go to sleep. I remember there was a time, I think I just finished my master's degree and I went home and I had an episode, I was feeling ill. So after I came back from the hospital, I was lying in bed with my parents, and I kept praying. And my mom said, sleep, we will do the praying. That's what God says to you. Sleep, let me take care of the bills. Sleep, let me take care of the challenges. Sleep, let me sort out the issues. Stop staying awake fretting. Your fretting hasn't made any difference up till now. What makes you think it's going to make a difference tomorrow? Praise God. We are born of God. John 1, 12 to 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You are God's very own seed. You were not born just by the will of your parents. You are born of God. God is your own father. So we need to allow this thought to settle in our hearts. We need to have a sonship mentality. A lot of believers have acquired a servant mentality. They are so big on serving God that they have forgotten that God is their father. He wants your fellowship. He wants you to get to know him and relate to him as a father. Praise God. I have a question for us. God himself said he's a good shepherd, right? What do sheep do to be fed by the shepherd? What do they do? They just follow the direction of the shepherd. It's the shepherd that knows where the grass is. It's the shepherd that knows where the water is. So the sheep, they just go along. As the shepherd is going this way, the sheep, they just follow them. The sheep does not wake up and say, let us serve, oh, so that shepherd will give us food today. Praise God. Let's hear what Jesus himself said about the Father. Let's open to John 16, 23 and 27. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Let's pause here for a moment. Jesus is telling us, he said, don't bother asking me. You don't need me to assess the Father for you. Ask the Father directly. Whatever, whatsoever means just that, whatsoever. What is not included within whatsoever? Nothing. You can have whatever you can believe God for. Somebody buys a jet. We begin to grumble and murmur. Hey, pastor bought jet. Is money missing from your account? Have they stopped selling jets? They haven't stopped selling jets. You want to buy jets, you are allowed to. You are allowed to. You can have whatever you can believe God for. Look, stop saying jets as if it's one highfalutin thing. It's just another means of transportation. Once upon a time, people used bicycle. And when a man bought a car in the village, everybody gathered around. Hey, he has bought car. Ha, rich man, big man. Today we are saying he has bought jet. We don't know what will happen in 20 years' time. Maybe everybody will own a jet. It's just another means of transportation. You can have whatever you can believe God for. This scripture tells us, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will do what? We told it from you. He will give it to you. Jesus said it, and Jesus has never lied. If you are asking and you are not receiving, find out how you are asking. You need to learn how to ask aright. There are ways to ask. There are rules that govern prayers. Find out how to ask. Because the fact is, if you ask, you must receive. You must receive. Let's read 27. For the Father himself, what? Loveth you. Because you have loved me, I have believed that I came out from God. The Father himself loves you. He wants your joy to be full. God is not a God of half measures. You know what I say? God is not the God that gives potato without the egg to eat it. Or the oil to fry it. You want it fried, he will provide the oil. You want ketchup, he will provide the ketchup. He's not a God of half measures. He wants your joy to be full. Quit wondering whether God will answer your prayer. He's obligated to answer your prayer as long as you are praying in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever means whatsoever. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he withheld.
Isn't that what your Bible says? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love gives. They say you may give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Love gives. Your Father, the Father himself, loves you, and he wants to give you. In case you think that it's only Jesus that loves you, that loves you, Jesus wanted to emphasize you that, look, oh, it's not just about me. The Father himself also loves you. In Matthew 6, our scripture that we read from verse 8 to 9, we see Jesus constantly referring to him as our Father. Our Father, for your Father knoweth. Why did he not say for your God? You know why? He wanted to take it out of the realm of religion and put it into the realm of relationship. You have a relationship with your Father God. It is not a question of the church you go to. It's a question of who your Father is. Who is your Father? Who is your daddy? Who is your daddy? Do you know who your daddy is? Do you understand this, your daddy? No, you don't understand your daddy. If they tell you now that they just did a DNA test and they just discovered that you are Dangote's son, you may even stop coming to church. Your work will change. Any small thing they say, do you know I just found out I'm Dangote's son? Do you know that Dangote is my father? You will tell everybody. And then perchance you go to a shop and you don't have money and you want to buy something. First of all, you would have announced to them that I'm Dangote's son. Then you say, but I don't have money. They say, you are another person. You are not another person now. Just take what you want. Don't worry, we understand. They will even close it. Are you still standing here? But give God whatever he wants. It's not because they like your face, so it's because of who your father is. It matters who your daddy is. It matters who your daddy is. It's because of who your daddy is. That's how why they do certain things for you. In Ephesians 3, from 14 to 15, we see Paul praying and he says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the Father. The Father. As believers, particularly in these days that we live in, it is very pertinent that we begin to know who this our Father is. That we become so close to him that we got to study who our daddy is, because who our daddy is will influence how we live this life. It will affect if we are able to survive in the things that are going on in the world. And the only place you can get to know who your father is in the word of God. It's the word of God that will reveal your father. It's the word of God that will tell you who your siblings are. It's the word of God that will tell you about your inheritance. It's the word of God that will tell you about your enemy. By the way, you have one enemy, the devil. And the word of God will tell you how to handle your enemy. Let's look at 30:31 again of Matthew 6. He's telling us, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? The central thought in this passage is, do not fret. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not be anxious, because you have a caring father. You have a father who is interested in your well-being. You have a father who is interested in your welfare. The Bible says that he who does not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. Is God an infidel? Are you members of his own household? Then he will provide for you. Praise God. If he's a father to you and you are his child, he will take a father's place in your life. Are there fathers in the house? It is your desire for your children to suffer. You know, you slept on mat when you were growing up. So now you want your children to replicate that experience. Is that true? When your children disobey you, you go to school and tell their school teacher, see this my son, Akin. Oh, very disobedient boy. Break his leg. Is there Akin here? Okay, we change it. It's no longer Akin that we are using. We say, you see this, my son, break his leg. He's very disobedient. Is that what you do? That's not. So why do we think that God, who is the father of fathers, will do the same to us? He's the father of fathers. What do fathers do? Fathers provide. Fathers protect. Fathers defend. Fathers are always there. Praise God. Sometimes when I have challenges and I don't know what exactly to pray, I just say, my father, my father. You know you are my father. Now say, me, I'm a mother. And I know what I would do for my children if I had unlimited resources. And the love I have for my children cannot be compared to the love you have for me. So father, do what a father will do. Whatever you know a father will do, go ahead and do what a father will do. And you know what? He always comes true. He never fails me. Let me tell you a little bit about my earthly father. When I was a little girl, I didn't eat egusi soup. I hated egusi soup. I don't see it egusi soup, except I'm very hungry and there is no alternative. My father would close from work, come home. My mom would have ignored me. That if you like, eat. If you like, don't eat. That's your business. Me too, I would just hold on because I know my daddy is coming. And when my daddy comes, I would just tell him that they cooked egusi soup. He would say, is that right? He will enter the kitchen and make my special okra. And if there is no okra, he will go to the market, buy okra, come back and make my special okra. I went to boarding school. My father didn't miss a visiting day. No matter how late it was, I knew that my father would come, and he would come with a cooler of rice. My friends used to wait because they know that my father is coming with rice. I went to serve. My father was there. I was working. My father used to call my boss and say, how is my daughter? How are you treating her? That is my father. My father was a man. Limited by finances, limited by time, limited by space. But I was so confident in his love that there is nothing he will not do for me. When I was posted to go and serve in a village in Oyo State, I stood in the middle of the secretariat in Ibadan and started crying, saying, I'm going to call my daddy. And people were laughing at me. But you know, to my mind, once my daddy shows up, NYC has no choice but to bow to my daddy. That is the attitude we should take towards our heavenly father. If my earthly father could do so much for me, a man who was limited, how much more will your heavenly father do for you? Who is not limited by finances, he's not limited by space, he's not limited by time, he's not limited in any way, how much more? The love my earthly father had for me cannot be compared to the love my heavenly father has for me. There's no comparison. He's my daddy. He's my father. He's your daddy. You know another thing the Bible says? It says that the father loves you as he loves Jesus. You have the exact same relationship with the father as Jesus has. You are not in an inferior position. Whatever the father will do for Jesus, he will do for you. He's your father. If you know that your father loves you the way he loves Jesus, you should have no fear, but boldly face the challenges of life with your chest out because you know who your daddy is. I heard a story of a woman during one of the religious crises in the north. She was surrounded by the hoodlums and they were just about to deal with her when a man walked out and all he said is, she's my daughter. And they just melted away. That is the same way when challenges face you, all God says to the challenges is, that is my son. That is my daughter. You cannot go further than that. That is my child. The father is in you. You need have no fear. He plays a father's role in your life. He provides for you. He gives his angels charge over you. Was Jesus stranded? No. You can't be stranded no matter how much rent becomes in Lagos. If dollar becomes 1,000 naira, you cannot be stranded. You can't be stranded. I tell people who are constantly afraid of being killed that if they should kill you, what will your angels tell God? What were they doing when they were killing you? Because these angels are your personal bodyguards. They're your personal bodyguards, given by God to protect you. What will they tell the father that happened to his precious child? Praise God. There's too much in you. When you begin to realize who your father is, you cannot fret again. I want us to read a scripture as we get ready to close. Hebrews 13, 5 to 6. Please put it up in the Amplified. This is the father's heart towards us. Hebrews 13. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money. including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, listen closely, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not. If this is all the scripture you read today, we can go home. He said, I will not in any way fail you. It doesn't matter the circumstance facing you. He said, I will not in any way. He didn't qualify that statement. I will not in any way fail you. He said, I will not give you up. He will not give you up to be devoured by the enemy. He said, he will not forsake you. I will is the strongest assertion in the English language. When he says, I will not, he means exactly that. He said, I will not let you down. Relax my hold on you. Brethren, I have news for you. You are not the one holding on to God, because you can become weary. He is the one holding on to you, and he can never let you go. He can never let you go because he's the one holding on to you. Praise God. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 27. Put it up. Psalm 27. In King James, please. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom? Of what? The economy? Terrorists? Kidnappers? Whom shall you fear? No one. Is a rhetorical question. Let's look at Psalm 23 and close with that. Psalm 23 calls him the good shepherd. I have a question for us this morning. How do you tell a good shepherd? Somebody says, I'm the good shepherd. How do you know he's a good shepherd? You know a good shepherd by the state of the flock. If the flock is looking scrawny and hungry, you will say this is a bad shepherd. If the flock is looking well cared for and protected, is not being eaten by wild animals, you know this is a good shepherd. I have news for you. It is in God's vested interest for you to be well taken care of. Otherwise, he can no longer call himself the good shepherd. For him to continue to call himself the good shepherd, you the sheep, you have to be well taken care of. It is in his vested interest. God is a father. His loving fatherhood, father heart, compels him to take care of you. Praise God. So what do we need to do when we know that God is our Father? First of all, we need to settle that in our hearts. Settle the fact that you are born of God. Settle the fact that your Father is the Father of all fathers. Find out what fathers do and begin to relate to him, not as God, not as judge, but as a father. He may be judge to the world, but he's a father to the believer. He's a father to you, and he will play a father's role in your life. He will take a father's place in your life. Get into the word of God. Start meditating on these truths. Find out what Jesus said about the Father. Start meditating on it and settle it here, that you have a father who neither sleeps nor slumbers. You have a father who is consumed with thoughts of you. You have a father who plays a father's role in your life. So, no matter what happens to electricity, to fuel, to dollar, we want the dollar to come down. But just in case it doesn't come down, we are not tied to the apron strings of this economy. We have a father in heaven. He is our personal daddy. Praise God. Stand up and say this with me as we close. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want for anything. I'm not afraid of any circumstance or situation. For my Father loves me and is with me. My Father abundantly supplies all my needs. I do not stand condemned or inferior in my Father's presence. I am loved. I am cared for. I am protected. I am provided for by my Heavenly Father. He's a good and faithful Father. I am His and He's mine. I belong to His family. He is my daddy, my personal daddy. Glory to God.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,